So there are three simple things that you can track to start. Just track simple things. So your actual utilization, right? So that is how many hours I'm getting versus what I have requested from the insurance or the funder, right? And but you also need another number. You need projected utilization. Because that's going to be different than what you have actually requested. And there may be many reasons why that's different. Because you thought we were going to do 25 hours a week, and then you found out they have 15 kids, and they have all these different things that they have to go to. And it turns out we're only going to get 8 hours, right? And so, like, that happens all the time. And so you have three numbers. So you have how much you've requested as far as hours, how much you've actually projected it on your weekly calendar, and then how much you're actually getting, right? And really the numbers to look at is how much am I actually getting versus how much I projected. Hi, my name's Steven.
Hi, I'm April.
This is the 3Pi² ABA Business Leaders Podcast, where we discuss topics on how to create and grow an ethical and sustainable ABA practice.
Together, Stephen and I owned a 7-figure ABA practice that provided both clinic and in-home services.
3Pi² has helped over 900 ABA practices start up and expand with our comprehensive products and services geared specifically to ABA. Now, let's get to the podcast.
Everyone, welcome to ABA Business Leaders, brought to you by 3Pi². I'm April.
Steven.
Welcome, welcome. So today we're going to talk about a topic that is quite popular amongst ABA business owners. Cancellation rates. Yeah. I'm not going to beat around the bush. We're just going to hop right into it today. Staff cancellation is definitely one of those things that business owners deal with on a regular basis. And it's one of those things that we see posted about most often on social media within the circles for owners of ABA companies, right? It's just something that we have to deal with. It's not just in the ABA field, too. I think there are a lot of people like to say there was a big shift after COVID. You know, who knows? Maybe there was already an issue and things got exacerbated over the last 5 years, and it just still, you know, it's just a continuing issue with no shows to work or showing up late or calling out for various reasons, right? But since we're ABA business leaders and we're dealing just with the ABA community, we'll dive in and look at how it affects us, right? So we already know, like, the hardships of it, right? It obviously, right? It's pain. It's a definite pain point. But I kind of want to reframe the problem, like, today. Okay. You want to follow me on this? You want to go there with me?
Let's do it.
All right. So a lot of times we see cancellations as an annoying logistical issue, right? Scheduling headache, it throws off productivity, throws off client progress. But what if we flip that and saw the cancellations themselves as like data points?
Okay.
So when we're looking at data, right, what do we look for in the data? We look for patterns, right?
Sure.
Yeah. So if we like took the emotional part out of it, right, and just tried to look at these cancellations purely as data points, and we want to see, okay, what are the patterns here, right? So we could, so some of the things, like I was brainstorming some of the patterns we might see just from the years that we had an agency and from all of the owners that we get to talk to on a regular basis, who sadly face this problem all the time, but I mean, it is sad, but I think it's just part of what it is. And so that's whole this whole like reframing. It's like, oh, I'm just always dealing with cancellations. Okay, well, how can we like take control over that and not feel like the victim of cancellations, right?
Sure.
So first we could look at like a pattern that we might see are the like the staffing model itself. Like over, are you over relying on certain team members?
Okay.
Are you putting those strong techs on the hard cases? Are you, you know, what happens when the illness like washes through, right? Because we know it's going to happen, especially mm-hmm. those of us who are in like the early intervention and the school age kids. I'm not saying it doesn't happen with teenagers and adults too,
right.
But it definitely is something in that school age and preschool population. You see these illnesses just like wave through, and then it just like, you know, it like takes out the whole staff in waves at times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so like what kind of backup systems would you have for that? The other, another pattern is the company culture. And so this kind of points back to like when we did the, at the end of last year, when we did the series on I Hate My Job and you know, and talking about all of the issues with techs in general, but also some BCBAs as far as, you know, not feeling supported mm-hmm. and, you know, not really feeling engaged, maybe feeling isolated, especially in home cases and things like that. And then we have also another pattern is client retention and satisfaction. So this is predominantly talking about staff cancellations, but we also know that there is some correlation maybe with staff canceling and families canceling. Like it something that I observed, a pattern that I observed in our company was that if the staff on the case was more likely to cancel, then it seemed like over time the family was more likely to cancel, or vice versa.
Sure.
You know, remember we've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like it's like, I don't know if it like lowers the bar or if it just like
makes it more acceptable.
The expectation yeah. just shifts, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like, oh, okay, well, they canceled a bunch of, you know, yeah. we're going to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes kind of like the norm. And in some cases, we were seeing that, like, it just became a pattern for there to be, like, a cancellation a week for that particular mm-hmm. staff client team. And then also, like, the operational strengths and gaps, right? That's, and your policies and procedures and those expectations mm-hmm. and the follow through and the communication and all of that. Can you think of any other patterns that might show up that I
don't know, like, I don't know that this is a pattern, but like what I've noticed over the years, even with our own practice, is that you kind of have two groups. You have like techs and BCBAs that show up for every session, always on time, always there. And then you have the other group that is like, meh, I take it or leave it, right? And so what happens is if you allow the I take it or leave it group to continue doing this, then the group that always shows up will see that group and say, at least this is my opinion, because uh-huh. this is what I would do if it was me. It's why am I doing this if they're not doing this, right? Like, and right. so then you kind of see that toxic, kind of, that toxicity kind of take over.
Right. So either it like shifts the, it could change the behavior because then they start modeling that of their peers, right? Because mm-hmm. they're like, okay, well, they're calling out.
So there's no consequence.
They're not getting consequence, so, and so, it's just making my life harder. So I'm going to call out. I want to go. Yeah. I want to go golfing today. Sure, I'm going to go golfing today. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And but then also that if they're like rule followers and they're not going to tend to call out, mm-hmm. even if they're seeing their fellow staff members. What is the word for fellow staff members? Colleagues? No, colleagues?
Sure.
Whatever. Anyways, if they see their fellow staff members calling out, and even though they're rule
followers,
teammates, right? And they're a rule follower, so they're not going to do that. That's what, like you said, the toxicity, right? That starts to build resentment.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I'm resentful just thinking about it. So, yeah. When you see like somebody that you work with all the time and you just know, look, I'm going to have to fill in for them or I'm going to have to cover for them. And like even more so in a clinic space, I would assume, right? Like, oh, they're going to go to the bathroom 15 times and they're going to ask me to watch their client. And there, is this even a session anymore? Right. So, I mean, there are issues around that.
Yeah.
And then just one thing, like, I get asked often is like, how many cancellations is too many cancellations? So I don't know. Are you going into that?
We'll talk about that. Okay. Yeah. We're looking at like looking at the data, right?
Right.
Looking at the data points.
Okay. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself mm-hmm. here too, but also just making sure you have a clear definition of what mm-hmm. cancellation means.
100%. Yes. 100%. I mean, that's important anytime we're measuring any data, since we're looking at the cancellations today as data so that we can look at those patterns and look at how to analyze that data. 100%. The clear definition is super important.
Yeah,
is it like calling out within 24 hours of the session start? Are you still considering it cancellations if they ask for time off using the appropriate channels 6 months ahead to mm-hmm. go to a wedding?
Right.
Is it a cancellation if they have an emergency, define those emergencies, like family emergencies, if you have parents and guardians, staff members that are parents or guardians and they have young children, or maybe they're taking care of aging parents, or, you know, there's that like caretaker call outs, but then there's also, you know, the 50 flat tires and the seven, washing machines mm-hmm. and, those kinds of things. So like define an emergency and define like, and we'll look when we're looking at patterns more, we'll look at like, okay, and then how many emergencies, like where let's start looking at the patterns mm-hmm. of these emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
But having that clear definition is super important.
I just, when I'm working with someone on this, a lot of times I will hear, well, our cancellation rate is great. And then it turns out we're not really tracking cancellations, right? And then the other thing that I would consider, or I would ask anybody listening to consider is, like maybe it's not canceled, but is it like consistently 20 minutes late or, you know, and mm-hmm. so like this adds up. And so, yeah, they get to their sessions, but we're constantly ending our 2 hour session at an hour and 40 minutes. This
that adds up.
Yes. So like, this is something else that, how are you defining that? Right. Like where are you putting that in the bucket when you're tracking this? Because if you're consistently losing 10 to 15% of every session, then they might as well be canceling once a week, right?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you brought that up. And from what I remember, I believe that we categorized, if you were 15 minutes late for your session, we categorized that, or more than 15 minutes late, we categorized that as a form of cancellation. We did kind of separate, like, I think when you were asking for the data, when you were like, over operations for our company, you asked for specific, like you just wanted one number of cancellation and you want it all in one bucket.
Mm-hmm.
But then for me, the way I wanted it collected was like to divide it more, but that's just kind of how my brain works anyways. Mm-hmm. I like to see more categories and so divide it into categories, because I personally didn't want to put that 15-minute person, late person in the same category as no show because of how I would approach those situations and how to like fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, for operations, you didn't care. You didn't need to know all the data. You just needed to know how much are we losing? What's the cancellation rate?
There are two things that I like to track is overall cancellation rate and missed missed opportunity is a better way to look at it, right? So you have basically this is your utilization score. So we, as a team, have deemed that medically necessary treatment is 15 hours a week. And whether the session we're canceling two sessions a week, or we're you know showing up 30 minutes late every day, this really doesn't matter to your utilization score so much. So how am I doing as far as meeting those medically necessity that medical necessity care? Because again, funders, if you're requesting 30 hours, like they're looking at this stuff now. And so if you're like on the BCBA side, for example, if you are missing like half of your parent training or your family guidance sessions, they're going to start to question, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Right. You need a certain amount of hours of parent training or family guidance a month, for ongoing services. If you're canceling 20% of your sessions, why are you asking for 35 hours a week when you're not meeting that, right? So these are things that not only does this affect your bottom line, but it's going to cause difficulty when you start to need that next treatment plan. So you really want to know what your utilization score is high level. Day to day, that's something that I would always look at, right? Like how many minutes of session time did we miss yesterday? And then finding out, okay, like how is this trending? And then we can deep dive into it, right? Where we can say, okay, here we have a couple of people that are causing an issue. And then we go down and we drill down into the data, right? Yeah. But high level, yeah, I found like just a number that I could easily understand. Oh, okay, it was last 4 months, we've been running around 8%, and, you know, oh, we've jumped up to 12. What's going on? Does that make sense?
Right, totally. So if cancellations are happening regularly, then that is telling you that your business structure needs attention, right? So instead of eliminating cancellations, because we're never going to eliminate, like, your cancellation rate's never going to be, like, zero. Mm-hmm. And so instead of eliminating cancellation, so we need to use these cancellations as an indicator to build our business in a way to smoothly handle the cancellations, right? I think a lot of conversations that I have with others, it's like, oh, how do we get rid of these? And like I said before, it's almost like we're like in that like victim. So, oh, we have all of these cancellations. Oh. And like that sitting in that toxic space, right? But if we look at the cancellations as that indicator, as that like temperature thermometer, whatever, of how our business is running, then it puts you in a more like different, it just gives you that different viewpoint to help you shift out of that like spot of like, oh, this is terrible, into how can we help? How can we shift this? How can we use this as data points to help, sure, to help understand? So when you start looking at the cancellations as data, you definitely can see that it's very predictable. There is a huge predictability to this when you're looking. It's not as, you know, because that's the other part. Sometimes we see like, oh, it's like another fire that you're putting out, mm-hmm, right? And that's one of the things, right? That's one of the things we get stuck at as ABA business leaders, is like stuck in the everyday of constantly putting out fires and not feeling like you can move ahead or move forward because you're just stuck in that pattern of putting out fires.
Okay.
So if you use these data points, so if you're looking at the data, at the cancellation as data points instead of disruptions, then you can start seeing the predictability of it. So you can ask yourself you can ask yourself all kinds of questions as the patterns start coming up, just as we would look and analyze data, you're going to start asking, getting curious about it, right? And asking yourself questions. So one that you might ask, or Is there a pattern as far as when the cancellations are happening? Are they happening in the morning or are they happening in the evening? And to step back from that, you could also look at the data. Are there specific outliers? You know, you can look at your data and be like, okay, is this happening across the team? Or is it happening just with a particular individual or a particular set of individuals? Mm-hmm. Is it happening just in one, with one client team, especially like if you're looking at in-home services? Mm-hmm. Is it just happening for a particular client? Is it happening for a particular tech across clients? Is it happening for a particular area, like the geographical location within your treatment zone? Is it happening, you know, like if you're in a city area, right? Like, could it be because of traffic, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, those are some of the things you're going to be looking at.
Is it happening every other Friday after a pay period gets put in their account, right?
So, and if you're looking at, like, time of day and you're taking into consideration whether it's general across staff, in which that might be, like, every other Friday, or if you're looking at morning or evening or midday, For certain staff, like particular, is there a scheduling conflict, right? Maybe there's not enough drive time between point A and point B. Maybe there's two, like for those in-home people, one of the patterns that I noted pretty quickly was if a staff, particularly a tech, but sometimes a BCBA too, right? If there was too big of a break in the middle of the day, like maybe they had a 9 to 12 kid and then they had like maybe a 12 to 3 break. Of course, there's like just a little side note, split shift laws.
You need to know those. We were synced. You told me we were Bluetooth.
Yes, totally. Well, you
that's
you,
what the kids are calling it.
You Bluetooth, like when you're synced. So you know, coming into this, you're like, ah, oh, man, my energy's feeling low. So I'm like taking it for you. but no, seriously,
So just explain split shift law.
Okay, you want to just like explain it real quick?
I mean, I can.
There's more, you know, we've had other podcasts about it. There's more information. Mm-hmm. You definitely need to know. And it's like in our handbooks too. Mm-hmm. But depending on your state,
The idea, sorry to interrupt you, but the idea was this was for the restaurant employees, right? So the basic idea here is that you got your morning crowd and you got your evening crowd, but the waiters and waitresses, you don't need them for lunch, right? Or at least you don't need all of them. So we're going to send them home and then we're going to ask them to come back for the evening crowd. And so there are certain states, the obvious one is California, that does have this regulation in check. So if you do call someone back on the same day, you have to pay a premium to bring them back. Typically, it's like overtime pay. So it's just something to be aware of. And the idea was that if we incentivize, you know, if we make it so that you're basically paying them the same amount regardless, then you'll just keep them there all day. Now, I don't know. Some people, now, talk to an attorney. We're not attorneys. But if somebody is voluntarily doing a split shift, then you may not necessarily have to pay. I'm not telling you how to pay people. Paying people the correct amount is really important. And if you have, if you're just, you know, even if you have, you know, that, what is it, the employment, the EIPL insurance, right? Where, you know, they kind of, if you put the wrong things in, if you haven't paid your staff, right? So this kind of covers you. Even if you have that, like if you use that constantly because you just aren't following payroll, payroll law, right? Then your premiums are going to go up and they'll kick you off the plan, right? So like this is a oops. This is not a, oh, we're just not going to pay our people, right? So you just need to make sure, right? And this is the same as drive time, right? Like, so you have to pay your staff drive time in between clients. But if somebody voluntarily goes home after a client, you don't have to pay them to drive home and then drive back to the client. Normally, what happens is that you would just have to pay them for the time it would take them to get from client A to client B. So, like, again, talk to an attorney about payroll and how to pay people correctly. But yes, split shift law is a real thing. It's very important that you're covering that. And it's very common in this space to have that middle of the day gap.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so in looking at those patterns, if you notice that it's like they have that 12 to 3 time in the middle of the day where they're done and they have a break and they have a session from, say, 3 to 5. And then you find that that 3 to 5 session gets canceled more often than the other. So, you know, that could lead you to think, okay, what can we do to remedy this 3-hour break? You know, you can find those sweet spots with those break times or those, like, you know, those, they're not always necessarily considered breaks, but those gaps in between of the day.
And I should just, sorry to clarify this, but just to clarify, what is a split shift? It's typically more than an hour. So that's just something to be aware of, right? So if it's 45 minutes, you know, maybe you're paying for lunch or you're paying them for like a break. So
those are things to look at. If it's happening across the board for multiple staff and you start to see the patterns, then maybe there's that break, right? There's that gap in the day. Okay, let's see how we can remedy this. If it's specific to one particular staff, you can talk to them. Even if it's a group of staff, of course, talk to them. Like, get their input too. Like, start to get curious with them. Say, hey, I'm noticing this pattern. Let's chat about this. What's going on here? Because it might be that, you know, some over the years I learned some staff loved and out, you know, especially like kind of looking at in-home. In-clinic is typically more structured,
yes.
And like that lunch hour might be like rotating lunch hour, you know, for different staff so that you have people to cover kids. Some situations they bring someone in to cover the kids for a lunch period, and then the lunch hour is like a socialization time for staff. Like, there's different ways that it looks, but in home it does take a little bit more curiosity when you start to see these patterns, because do you bring your lunch? And I had some that really wanted a shorter lunch break because they ate their lunch in the car and they were completely fine with it, and they wanted to get on with the day to their next person. Or some wanted to be able to go to a coffee shop or a restaurant and have a leisurely lunch, you know, or so they're just different. You know, it's like that whole like treat your staff kindly. Having these conversations with them is so helpful, and coming at it with like a curiosity. Not that they're gonna get everything they want, but it helps you to understand where they're coming from and what their needs are.
There's also a stacking issue that you may have. So like, let's say you like the middle of the day client is the problem, right? So they're constantly canceling. They're canceling 20% of their sessions.
That's true.
And then the tech is like, I'm not going to the evening. I'm just going to cancel that one too. So like, so there's that issue as well, right? So maybe the issue is not the tech on the midday case, maybe, but they're like, it's not worth my time to have to drive to the third session when the middle session has been canceled. So there's that piece of it too. So I think getting curious is really important. April and I are so honored to have Margin Keeper sponsor this podcast.
Running an ABA business comes with its share of challenges. Managing clients, staff, insurance, the list goes on.
One thing you shouldn't add to your stress, bookkeeping. That's where Margin Keepers comes in.
They're specialists in ABA businesses, which means they understand exactly what we need.
With Margin Keepers handling your finances, you can focus on what really matters, your clients, and your practice's growth.
They're more than just bookkeepers. They're lifesavers in the financial world of ABA.
So for peace of mind and expert financial management,
turn to Margin Keepers. It's a decision that will lift a weight off of your shoulders.
Check out Margin Keepers at www.marginkeepers.com and see how they can help your business thrive.
Yeah, Yeah, so what the timing of the cancellations, are specific texts canceling more than others? Is it for a specific client? Is it are the cancellations coming from new hires versus, you know, established hires? Maybe vice versa. I don't know, right? Are the clients canceling at higher rates than staff? So really, you know, I feel like as behavior analysts as a whole, we're really good at looking at data, and we're really good at finding those patterns and getting curious. So just having that shift to looking at this as data. So we already know that data can give us insights, right? And it can help us, can help lead us to real solutions. Mm-hmm. So let's look at a couple potentials, right? So if the cancellations show pattern in staff disengagement, we would want to look at the culture of our workplace. Like, okay, what's going on there? Like, what's the issue here, right? Are they being supported? Are, you know, those who are in home, are they getting enough, like, time with team members, right? To feel supported not only by like their supervisor, but also fellow techs. Mm-hmm. You know, looking at like the morale in general and the flexibility within the scheduling. You know, we looked at the gaps in scheduling. So we talked about that. And a little bit more about the scheduling itself. Scheduling is a very complicated, mm-hmm. like science or art. I don't know, which is it, science or an art?
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit.
Maybe
both.
Yeah. There's so many variables at play, especially in the in-home realm of things. But yeah, it's
techs and supervisors should not have complete authority.
No, I do. The way that we always did it is that we had a scheduler. Mm-hmm. Like we had someone. Yes. And that position may have consisted of a team of people, mm-hmm. from time to time, but we had dedicated schedulers. And that was the job, was to look at, you know, all of this data, right? Yes. And to say, okay, here's, you know, at one point we were in our conference room. We had like huge dry, this is my favorite thing that we had in our office, was these huge dry erase boards, mm-hmm. right? So we had this huge dry erase board on the wall. And then we had another one on wheels that we wheeled in. And then we had like another one kind of like on the table. We had post-it notes. And as I was trying to like train, because I always got something, I kind of enjoyed scheduling. It just got to the point where it's very time consuming, and it was all encompassing, and like I had to step outside of that role and let it go to be able to do anything else, because I found that I was just completely like hyper fixating on schedules all the time. And so as I was trying to explain how I did it in my brain, that's what we were doing, whiteboards and post-it notes and all the things, right? To train other people so that they could come up with some ways to do it that worked for them as well. But we had to look at all of those variables. But one of the biggest things that I think that we did differently, and just my personal opinion, mm-hmm. is I felt like it went more smoothly overall than any company that I had worked for where we had complete autonomy over our schedule, because it does hold you accountable, mm-hmm. and it does, like when you're a scheduler or a scheduling team and you're able to look at this whole big picture, you see so many parts to it that if you're just one part of that with just a few clients, like you can't see that big Correct. Picture either.
Correct.
And so another thing that we explained to our scheduling team was like the business piece of it, mm-hmm. like how impactful is X percent cancellation. How, you know, what does that look like for, you know, for the money end of things, mm-hmm. right? And so it just train, not necessarily that we're like holding them, like guilting them or shaming them or holding them 100% accountable for that. But we thought like it was very important to educate them of like, what does it mean when you're canceling one session a week? Mm-hmm. What does that mean for like the, what is that, bottom dollar? Is that the way to say it? Like what does that mean for, mm-hmm. financially for the company?
For the bottom line.
Bottom line. Thank you. And so, you know, if you're requesting assessment kits and requesting, you know, more games and toys, okay, well, like there's no extra money right here. So maybe if we could decrease, you know, one cancellation per week, this is how much money that could give us that yes. we could put back into yes. like supplies and materials and training, you know, for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, so. Also the staff doesn't always need to know what's going on either, right? Like yeah, if there's like a health details. Issue, they don't really need to know why, oh, well, why am I taking this case over? Or why is this person always canceling, right? Or so, and then the BCBA is just like, you know, if you're trying to make an efficient, scalable business, we don't want to waste our BCBA's time with dealing with cancellations and, oh, they're in the middle of a session and they just got a text saying, oh, Denise canceled her session and you know, that it's going to start in 15 minutes and, okay, I need to step out and I need to take this yeah. call, right? Like, this is just not what they need to be doing. And I don't know of any BCBA that I've ever talked to and that said, I love doing scheduling, right? Most, this is probably up there with insurance as far as the most hated jobs in ABA. So you should have somebody designated to do this. And this may be like a hybrid tech position that could do this. But yeah, I think it's really important. The other thing that I have found is when you remove the ability from the clinical team to make adjustments to the schedule, then the parents will stop asking them, hey, can you work on the weekend? Hey, yes. I got this thing going on tomorrow. I can't do it today, but I'll do it tomorrow. And then what? The RBT says, sure, no worries. And then the RBT doesn't realize that the supervisor was going to come and do like maybe they were going to just do like a secret check-in, right? And now they're like, they get there and then they're like, what's going on? So like, I like, just for efficiency and team morale, I would highly recommend removing scheduling from the vocabulary yes. of the clinical team. They can have certainly input. Hey, I like to see this client at this time on this day because mom is home or grandma's there and I'm working with the grandma and we're working on this certain skill and I'm doing my parent training goal and they can only come on this day, or they have to take the other kid to the baseball game on Tuesday, so I need to go on Thursdays, right? Whatever, right? They can totally have input. But as far as like, oh, making their schedule, most of the time when someone is coming to me, and they say, we don't have any cancellations, this is the model that they're using, is like willy-nilly, everybody makes their own schedule, and they're not realizing that they're not meeting their any effective utilization score as far as medical. Again, this is medical necessity, right? We want to be taken seriously. We want to stop having peer reviews because we deem that this is important and like intensive hours is really important. And then you have a 25% cancellation rate. No one's going to take you seriously, right? If you're canceling a 25% of your sessions, right? And this is going to affect your, again, it's going to affect your profitability, and no one can survive with, you know, like I said, if you're above 10%, there's a problem. There's a problem.
Yes. You know, at one point we had a 40%. Maybe that's why it's hard to talk, because that's a hard number to say. I mean, we had like a 40% cancellation rate at one point. It was like 30, it was maybe closer to 30 to 40. And we had, we meaning Steven, was like, April, what's going on here? And I like looked into it, and I'll take a complete responsibility for it. I was being so nice, right? Like, oh, your kid's sick. Okay. Oh, you got a flat tire. Okay. So I had to look at it myself and say, okay, What? And that's part of what helped us define.
How many grandmas do you have?
Right. I'm like, all right now. And so I had to, that's really when we looked really deep into defining what a cancellation rate was. And looking at how to follow up, right? How to, you know, what are, you know, how to hold people accountable? What does that look like? What does that mean? And we can go into that in another podcast or, you know, reach out to us and we can help you work out your situation. But cancellation is not only just irritation, right? It affects a lot, right? And so as we're looking at that, at the cancellation as data points, it really helps us to shift that mindset and like look at, like it helps us to like play offense instead of playing defense. And we can build a stronger system by looking. And I think it does take too, like it takes that minute sometimes for us to like step outside of your ego, right? And like, and really look at what's going on and being willing to. And I think that's why I keep saying this, like maybe this about data points so much and looking at it as patterns is because I do feel like if we're looking at something as a data point, we can step back and take it not connected to our ego and our worth quite so much. And we can put less like emotion into it. And it's like, okay, here's just that data point. Let's just analyze that. Because sometimes we need to, especially those of us who, you know, our companies are like our babies and our staff are like, you know, important to us. And we really care about our staff and talking about cancellation rate sometimes can like ruffle that. Right. So was there something else you were wanting to say?
I don't remember who shared this, but it was a different perspective that I had not really thought of, you know, like I know that therapy is obviously important, but one BCBA we were talking to said like, we only have these kids for a certain window of time, right? And so, you know, normally, right, they're going to go to school. So, you know, we're working with, typically we're working, you know, that 2 to 5, maybe 6 year old and where they're getting these intensive services. And so if we're canceling 20% of our sessions, that's 20%. Like of growth, that the potential that they've lost, right? And so that's, I think, something that, you know, and that's probably why it's really hard. Not only is this company your baby, but it also, you're looking at that and saying, look, we look at how much more we could have helped, right? And so it is hard to step back and not be offended or take this personally. You know, there is always that feeling of like, are they taking advantage of me? Are they doing this for, you know, because I'm not hard ass enough, you know? So I can understand, why someone would, you know, feel insulted or resentful having to deal with this day after day after day.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right. So, challenge to you guys listening. All right. So, here's your challenge. So, pull out your calendar and go ahead and mark a spot. I don't know how. An hour. Let's just say an hour. Let's mark an hour in your calendar. And you're going to set this time to look back at your cancellation patterns over the past 3 months. So that's your challenge. Look at your cancellation rate over the past 3 months. So your cancellation patterns. Now, okay, what if you're like, okay, you book this hour, you sit down and you're like, I don't know my cancellation patterns. I have no idea. Then this is a great opportunity to figure out how to get started on collecting that data. Yeah. You know, we had a whole robust way of collecting data and it shifted and changed over time to make it what we needed it. And part of that was that identifying like, well, what exactly what is a cancellation rate? What is a cancellation? If you don't already have a data collection system, start looking at that, looking at what you define as a cancellation rate. How are you going to collect this data? If you already have your data, or once you get about 3 months worth of data, then, you know, take a general overview look at it and say, okay, what stands out to you? Like, what trends do you see? You know, from all of this that we talked about today, what stands out. Maybe something different stands out. I'd love to hear what stands out for you. Because I think that also helps normalize all of this, right? Like, as we're, you know, striving to do the best we can, but not expecting perfection, and we're learning through our mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, let's all talk about what those patterns are that we're seeing and work together. And how can we remedy that? How can we work together on that? But also take that data once you have it, and once you start analyzing that and looking, okay, what could this mean for me, for my company? What is this telling me about my company? Mm-hmm. And start getting curious about that. And of course, we're always here if you want to reach out and talk about it more. We'd love, you know, comment on where would they comment on a podcast? They wouldn't really comment on a podcast. Come to ABA Business Leaders Facebook group. Mm-hmm. But we'd love to hear your, hear your takeaways from this.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just starting out on this and you're like, I don't even know what a definition of cancellation rate is, and what categories should I put these at, and is late session canceled, and how do I, like, there's a lot here, right? So there are three simple things that you can track to start. Just track simple things. So your actual utilization, right? So that is how many hours I'm getting versus what I have requested from the insurance or the funder, right? But you also need another number. You need projected utilization, because that's going to be different than what you have actually requested. And there may be many reasons why that's different, because you thought we were going to do 25 hours a week, and then you found out they have 15 kids and they have all these different things that they have to go to, and it turns out we're only going to get 8 hours, right? And so, like, that happens all the time. And so you have three numbers. You have how much you've requested as far as hours, how much you've actually projected it on your weekly calendar, and then how much you're actually getting, right? And really the numbers to look at is, how much am I actually getting versus how much I projected? And the difference between that is your cancellation rate. You can yell at me and say, no, you're wrong. That's it. That's as simple as it gets. How much you're actually getting versus how much you think you should be getting. That's it. It's as simple as that. And why is there a difference? And that's really where you want to start. If you overcomplicate this thing, just like all KPI. If you overcomplicate it, it gets overwhelming and nobody's going to do it, including yourself, right? So we want to keep this as simple as possible, and then, fine tune it over time, right? So you can see those little differences. Is it a whole bunch of late sessions, or is it, it's drinking time on every other Friday, and, I'm going to miss the last two sessions, right? Like, we can get into that later. But first, we want to track it. We want to be consistent. Is this an overall issue with all of our staff? Because, like you said, we just kind of let it go, and everybody knows it's not that big of a deal. And maybe we have to do some overall education of what medical necessity actually means, and how cancellations affect the profitability of the company, and why profitability is so important with the company, and how this will affect wages, and how this affects training, and how this affects people becoming BCBAs from techs, right? Like, all of these things are important. And if we're canceling, again, 25% of our sessions, then we have a problem. A lot of these things we can't do. We can't get new assessment kits. We can't get higher wages. We can't add that vacation time or benefit, right, that we wanted to do. So I think that's really where you want to start, is using those three numbers. We can get into why is our projected utilization so much lower than the actual number that we want, right? We can get into that too. But I think the first thing, if you're just starting out, why is our proposed score so much lower than the actual number that we're getting, right, as far as billable hours? Yeah. Does that make sense?
100%.
And then that kind of gets you okay, now let's look at the codes, right? Because it could be parent training is the issue. It could be direct service. You know, maybe it's assessment, right? And then we can look at the codes and see, okay, which one are we falling behind on most? And then you go after the low-hanging fruit, right? So you start with the ones that are, you know, the highest percentage and go from there.
Great. All right, so.
If you need help, we can help, too.
100%. So challenge accepted. Guy's going to go out and look at your last 3 months of data or start collecting your data.
Yeah, and share, right?
And share, we would love to. It's, like, inspiring to hear where everyone is at. Like, even if you're, like, floundering, there's some inspiration in there of the vulnerability of sharing and being willing to, like, put it out there to, like, figure it out, to work on it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you, like, there are always times where cancellation rate is going to be higher.
You might even, like, find, like, times of the year where, like,
yeah,
you know,
like, right. One kid gets the flu and then everybody has the flu, right? And so that stuff happens. Yep. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. And a little ask for you, if you enjoy this podcast and you find it helpful, if you'll subscribe and give us a rating.
Rate and awesome. Leave a review. That really, really is helpful. It gets us more visibility and allows us to continue doing what we're doing.
That's right. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Hopefully it was helpful. If you would like to gain access to this entire video, and actually our entire library of videos, please join our ABA Business Leaders membership. You can find that at www.3pisquare.com.